You really come apart in this movie, don't you?
Oh, man, you're telling me. Yes, for sure. It's definitely, I think, out of everything I've ever done, probably the most physically I've fallen apart ever. It's a lot of makeup, a lot of prosthetic work, yeah.
So how much of it was makeup? Because you're pretty slender and they did a lot to you.
Oh, yeah, it's a lot. It's 9 hours of makeup towards the very end when I'm fully sick. It actually, you know what's funny? It's, I am a small person, so when they added prosthetics and they added so many layers, it actually was making me super, super wide. So I think that's why they use so, it's very dark in the scenes when I'm really, really sick, because my body is like, it's, you know, a few extra inches of prosthetic and blood that's added in to the edges of my whole body.
How heavy was it? Did it put a lot of weight on you?
I don't think it's actual weight. It was more, because it's like silicone and foam, and it's like a bunch of weird materials, but it's not heavy. It's just, you don't have much movement because you're kind of glued together. So like if you lift your arm right now, your skin is like very stretchy. If you lift it with the prosthetic work, it like pulls pieces because you're glued in. So if you pull your arm up, it'll like rip your boob. You know what I mean? So you're glued in everywhere, but you have to be very comfortable with yourself because you stand naked for, you know, that 9 hours while they're gluing it onto your raw body. So yeah, my makeup artist got very, very comfortable.
Well, and your wardrobe starts off just as a bikini.
Oh my gosh, the whole movie, I have just a bikini on. I was like, when I first got there, I was like so excited to eat all the food and the DR. And then I looked at my wardrobe and I was like, oh, I guess I'm not going to get to try everything I wanted to eat here.
When you weren't in the makeup, did you get to enjoy the location as a vacation?
Oh, yeah. Well, the city that we were first in, I think it's the capital wherever the airport was, I didn't really get to enjoy that location because we actually were told to not leave the hotel. It was like a courtyard situation. They said it was dangerous. So for like the first few days, I was kind of stuck there. And then when we went to, I don't remember the name of the city anymore because it's a year and a half ago. We went to the second location, which is where like the beachy areas are. And that was incredible because I met a random guy with a yacht that owned the resort we were in. And then offered up a helicopter to go to a private island for a day. And we really took advantage of that. So it was me, Brando, and Mitch that really just kind of enjoyed the days off there.
So there was no flesh-eating bacteria on the island, was there?
Not that I know of. I think I was okay this time.
So did doing a film like this make you paranoid about germs?
You know what? I've never been one of those people, like a crazy hand washer or anything. I'm not a germaphobe by any means. So it doesn't affect me in that way. Thankfully, I think that if I was scared of germs, I would have been really itchy and freaked out the entire time. But yeah, I always feel like, if, you know, if you have germs around you, you're building your immune system better. So screw washing your hands. Just kidding.
Are you comfortable with the term scream queen?
You know what? That term has been thrown around for a bit now. I guess I'm kind of just used to it. The weirdest part is I'm not really a person that, like, first of all, I don't get scared ever, which is, you know, kind of interesting. But I don't know. I got pegged into horror films back in the day. I think it's just because I can cry easily. And I don't really know how it happened, but yeah, it seems to be my niche in the industry now.
What's your favorite horror film?
The Exorcist.
Well, that's a good one.
Really love that movie. That, you know what? It's because it really psychologically messed me up as a kid. And you know what's weird is on the back of my door when I was living with my family, I had the poster of The Exorcist, that crazy picture of her close up when she was sick, of Linda Blair, and I don't know why I had it. I was just really, I felt like a movie that can really affect you that much, doesn't matter if it's good or bad, but it can affect you like that, it did its job. And to me, I think that that's kind of the ultimate career path in terms of movies. It doesn't matter if they're good, bad, whatever. As long as you're affecting your audience like that, and they're like going to sleep thinking about that movie, then you kind of told the story right.
Did that scare you a lot when you were younger?
I saw it when I was like 14 or 13 or 14, and it did. It gave me nightmares, and that's why I think I got the poster and stuff, because I really kind of wanted to tackle that fear. And if it was in my house consistently looking at me, I wasn't scared. It was kind of like a way to deal with it. And then I was like, oh my God, it totally worked. And I was really intrigued on how it kind of made made me feel like that. And that's, I think that's kind of why I really was drawn into the industry of kind of wanting to have that same effect. Hopefully with more enlightened films that are going to do more, you know, for society eventually. But yeah.
Well, there's nothing wrong with a little bit of horror now and then.
No, there's it's fun to watch on a Friday night with, you know, your friends and eat popcorn. And I like the ones that have comedy in them. Honestly, like Exorcist isn't a great example, but there's a lot of horror films, like the original Cabin Fever, that at the very end, you know, you see this little kid doing cartwheels, screaming pancakes, and you're like, wait, what? And it, to me, I like the added comedy in it because it kind of made it, I don't know, it felt more enjoyable to watch those. They're not taking themselves so serious.
Now, have you seen the other Cabin Fever movies?
Oh, I saw the first one ages ago. I actually own it, and I that was one of my favorites back in the day. But I've never seen the second one. The original was, I loved it back then because it was very different, and to me, I felt like it was very possible. Like, it could technically happen.
Did you do your own stunts even under all those prosthetics?
Oh, yeah. It's always all you with the prosthetics. Unfortunately, I would love to have a double so I don't have to sit there for 9 hours of makeup. But yeah, it is me and everything. And I always do my own stunts. It's not, that one's not that scary because we had a choreographer that kind of teaches us how to, like, on the beach, which you can't really see in the end product because it was really dark. We actually had a full-on scene, me and Lydia Hurst, where we were kind of, like, we had, like, specific directions of where to punch and where to, like, flip. And I actually have videos of us learning to do it, but you don't really see it in the end product as much.
So this is the Spartacus question. Which was worse, blood or sand?
I'm a girl. I deal with blood every month, so I say sand.
Well, since you brought that up, what did you think about the bloody sex scene?
I read it, and I was like, this could be shot perfectly and it would be epic. But if it's not shot right, you know, it's just a fail. And also it has to be edited correctly because it has the potential to be one of the worst scenes that any man will ever watch. I mean, well, I guess a woman too, but that's not as bad for us. But yeah, I read it and I think that was what was so interesting. I was like, wow, they are ballsy. They don't really give a shit. They're going to do it. And so I guess that was shot on, like, you know what? That was like the first scene I shot. I think that was like our first.
Really?
Yeah, I think it was very close to being like maybe the second day or something. So me and Brando became friends really quickly.
That's one way to break the ice.
I was like, I'm so sorry in advance.
So what's coming up next? More horror movies?
You know what? I don't think I can avoid them. I think that for some reason they're just going to be hanging around forever. I would hope, I'd like to put it out in the universe. I really want to do a rom-com. I really, really do. And you know what? I haven't really done a series that got picked up yet. So I think to do one season on a series would be really different because I've never had that schedule. I always leave my location and shoot for 2 months or whatever. But it'd be nice to have a consistency for, you know, 8 months of the year.
So would you want to play the love interest or the bad girl in the romantic comedy?
Actually, I'm not really particular in who I play. I would just like to do a movie that's like a fun family-filled movie that I can take my parents to and my grandma. Because I don't want to really show her Cabin Fever because she might be a little freaked out. Even though I did watch Wild Things Foursome with her. I sat down and I was like, okay, we're going to just do this. I'm pretty open with my mom, but I feel like she might not like Cabin Fever as much. She might be a little too much for the gore.
Did you deliberately seek out edgy work after being in more squeaky clean and conservative things like Sunny with a Chance and An American Carol?
Here, the funniest thing is I was doing Sunny with a Chance, and then while I was shooting that, I booked Cougar Hunting, which is a comedy. And then, like, 2 months after Cougar Hunting, I did Wild Things. So Sunny with a Chance and Wild Things happened in the same year, I think, like directly from it. And it wasn't, first of all, you don't really know how the end product's going to turn out. So you kind of take a chance when you read a script and you're like, oh, first of all, it's a studio film. It's a lead in a studio film. And you get to do action. Originally, it was written, I was like a motorcycle riding. Now, then it ended up being Ferrari driving, like cutthroat killer girl that's really manipulative in Miami. And, you know, learning to shoot guns and stuff. So it's appealing on paper. You just really, like I said, you take a chance. You just go, okay, well, let's just hope it turns out to be the same. And it was never called that title when I booked the movie. They did that to me on the day 20 of filming, and I was hysterically crying. I mean, honestly, imagine booking a movie. First of all, you don't own the, like, when you do a contract, you don't know the title. Like, it's up to the studio. Originally, when I booked the movie, it was called Crisscross, and that was it. There was no Wild Thing affiliation. Like, it was not connected. And then I think it was like day 17 or day 20. It was like someone near the very end. And they sat down and the studio like chimed in and they were like, by the way, guys, we're going to call it Wild Things Foursome. And I mean, everyone's face literally dropped. I think Marnette was hysterically crying. I was crying. Ashley Parker Angel was like, oh my God, this is going to ruin us. It's, I mean, you can't do anything. You can't fight a studio. So, I mean, they think that it'll sell better that way. I mean, that's ultimately all they care about is the numbers.
So they were trying to retrofit and into the series.
It was trying to, I guess, but honestly, like, you don't need to see four versions of the same movie. Like, I think calling it a different name is might be a little, I don't know. I'd rather take chances like that than, and also, I think the title comes across as like, okay, I'm doing Skinemax now. Yeah, unfortunately, the title thing really was a bitch to deal with, but, you know, there's only so much you can do, you know. Oh well.
Well, you're still doing movies at least.
Right. I mean, I guess the goal was originally just to work off acting, but now, you know, you want to do movies that you're really super proud of and that, you know, you want to show people and also a resume, you know, that you're proud of and certain titles, you know. I'd like to change some of them, but oh well.
Thanks so much, Jillian.